Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue to take up St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Began it on Monday. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs are archived there. Not only the shows for Monday and Tuesday, but shows going back a number of months. You can listen to them on the computer. You can download them, put them on whatever device that allows you to listen to them whenever it's convenient. Also want to encourage you to remember, at the end of the program, I'm going to offer a free booklet. So hang on. You'll get the 800 number. You can call, receive the booklet. We'd love to send it out to you. Well, I ended yesterday's program where I ended Monday's program, which was really still in chapter 1 with one verse, verse 3, Paul's letter to the Galatians, where he reminds us, you know, what Jesus has done for us. It's really in his greeting. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age." And as I was ending the program, I shared with you that one of the things that's been happening here in our neighborhood in Renewal Ministries over the last number of months, Ralph Martin, myself, Peter Burak, who is the director of ID916, and Joey McCoy, who works with us as well, we've been studying the Gospel of Matthew. Our intent is to read the words of Jesus, asking ourselves the question, how often does Jesus talk about consequences, the consequences of sin, the consequences of not obeying God? Partly because we were having a conversation together about saying, you know, it seems like Jesus talks about it a lot, the reality of sin and how serious he is about the consequences, but it's not something that the church talks about very much. And the apostles talk about it quite a bit as well. So he said, well, why don't we just divide up the whole New Testament between the four of us, and then let's walk through it together, and let's hear the words that Jesus speaks, let's hear the words the apostles speak, let's get a hold of how often they talk about it, and how they describe it. And all of us, to be honest with you, are shocked. I mean, you're talking about four guys. I mean, Ralph in particular has been reading the Bible pretty much every day for 50 years. I've been doing it for almost 40 years, just about every day, not every day. But I do it a lot, you know, and study it in many different ways. And I never quite grasp. I mean, I knew Jesus talked about it. We talk about it in our ministry. We try to make a point of it. But I never realized just how much he talks about it and how dramatically he talks about it, with the urgency, how consistently, with such great urgency, he speaks about it, and how sobering it is to hear him speak about the consequences. So let me give you an example. Matthew 18. Jesus says this in Matthew 18, verse 5. Well, first, begin with just 18, verse 1. Let's do that. He said, At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So what is he saying? What is a child? He's talking about childlike trust. A good child is an obedient child that trusts the words of a father and a mother, right? Leans on it, trusts on it. That's the kind of relationship Jesus said is required if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he says pretty straightforwardly, unless you become like this, that is, you put away your pride, your independence, and your unwillingness to really, truly rely on the words that come from Jesus and bank your whole life on it, if you're not willing to do that with humility and childlikeness, Jesus is very direct. You're never going to enter the kingdom of heaven, is what he says. That's a big deal. He said, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And we've all heard these teachings of Jesus, and it's a little bit like sometimes water off a duck's back, and oh yeah, it's kind of a quaint and wonderful thing. Look, Jesus drew a child to himself, and it's wonderful that Jesus loves children, and yeah, he wants us to be like little children, but do we really take it to heart and hear what he's saying? Because he's dead serious about that. Because they're asking him, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest in the kingdom, right? But he goes on in verse 5. He says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened round his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. To just lead one of these children, Jesus said, it would be better that you'd be, you know, a millstone is a huge, huge stone, right, that grinds the wheat. To be wrapped around, get thrown in the sea with that, you're never coming up, right? You're dead. Jesus said, it's better that that would happen to you than what will happen to you if you're someone who's led a child into sin. I mean, on a large scale, I just think sometimes of the movies and the television programs Hollywood has produced, or the pornography industry or whatever. The more and more stats come out every day because of the use of smartphones, that kids who are 10 years old, 9 years old, 12 years old are exposed to this rot. And Jesus is telling us, look, that is sinful. And it angers God. And it's better for someone who actually does this to have a millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the sea than to have to face judgment, the judgment of God. Because Jesus is so clear to us. Jesus is, sin is really, really serious. Sin is what kills us. It kills us spiritually. That's why Jesus has come like a great physician to cut it out of us, you might say, and give us a new heart, because sin is in the human heart. And if we don't acknowledge it and we don't repent and come to him and bow down before him and acknowledge our sin and say, Jesus, come and take it away, repent of our sin and be baptized, and then, like Jesus, learn to hate sin. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. It's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, you might say, in your heart and mind, those who believe. He wants to make us like Christ, to be conformed to Jesus, who absolutely hates sin, big sin and little sin. Verse 7, he says this, woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the man by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it from you. It's better for you to enter life maimed or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it from you. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. Remember who's speaking here. This is Jesus, who knows everything, who never spoke a word, a lie in his life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's revealing to us the real condition the human race finds itself in, what we're up against. What are the consequences also of not hearing his word and radically responding to it? It's just so important, right? There's another parable here in verse 18 that he teaches. Jesus loves parables, right? It's the parable of the unmerciful servant. It's this servant under a king who owed the king a debt and couldn't pay it and begged the king for mercy. And the king was merciful and gave him a break, gave him a way out. And he didn't judge him fully, but he showed him mercy. Well, the same guy had a servant, and he couldn't pay to him the debt he owed him. And he treated his servant completely differently than how he was treated. In verse 32, it says, then his Lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant. Okay? Now, this is the original, the king, the Lord, who had shown mercy to the servant. He gets the word that the one he had shown mercy to had not shown mercy to someone who's in a similar situation as his own, and he was angry, and he called him to come to him, and this is what he said. You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord delivered him to the torturer until he paid his debt. And then Jesus says this, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Wow. Did you hear his words? This is Jesus. Jesus is talking to us about what the Father will do to Peter Herbeck if Peter Herbeck refuses to show mercy to someone who's come to me and asked me with a real heart to show mercy toward them. And what is Jesus saying? He would say to me, "Peter Herbeck, you are my son. I died for you on a cross. You were destined for eternal separation from my Father. In fact, Peter, you had a debt on you that you could not pay. You didn't have enough to pay it. It's so big. But I showed mercy to you when you cried out. And the mercy and love of the Father who desires to save everyone came to you. And I said, go and sin no more. Go and walk in my footsteps. And you who've been shown so much mercy, Peter, when someone in your life comes and asks your forgiveness to forgive a debt of sin against you, someone who's hurt you, someone who's forgotten you, treated you badly, or someone who couldn't pay a material debt, whatever it is, you see what angers Jesus. Jesus uses the word anger here. And somehow today, the way we've psychologized God and Jesus, the image of them, it's like anger, just Jesus couldn't be angry about anything. And God the Father couldn't show anger because anger somehow is bad. No, this is healthy anger. Remember, Jesus said, be angry. Scripture said, be angry, but don't sin. There is a kind of anger that's sinful, but there's a kind of anger that's absolutely healthy and healthy and appropriate to a particular situation. And this is what boils his blood, you might say. Again, he said, and in anger, his Lord delivered him over to the torturer, and they threw him in jail. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Not just lip service, but from the heart, I release you from this debt. Friends, Jesus, these are really hard words, the kind of thing that Peter Kreef wrote in a little book called Jesus Shock. It's shocking to hear the claims of Jesus about himself, to hear what Jesus says about the world and the reality of the world, but also our condition before him, and in this case, the consequences of not obeying him. This is love, actually. And preachers out there, if there's priests and bishops and others listening to the program, please preach and teach this stuff as often as Jesus did. It's love. Don't worry. The Holy Spirit will work through it and convict the hearts of the faithful. It convicts my heart listening to this stuff from Jesus, and how much more I want my heart. I want to forgive people freely like Jesus did from the heart. Friends, let's take God's word into our heart today and live it. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.